The epistle and gospel readings that are set for today, which you've just heard read, are in fact really three passages, because there is a break in the gospel reading. They've missed out some verses, which are, by the way, a series of woes against different cities. So you've got two sections of that chapter from Matthew chapter 11. But first to the reading from the St. Paul's epistle or letter to the Romans. It is, of course, the very last part of seven chapters of argument by St. Paul about the place of the Jewish law, the work of Christ, and St. Paul's understanding of the Christian gospel, the good news. We haven't heard, of course, the previous seven and a half chapters, just those last verses. The Romans was written to a church that Paul had not founded, the church in Rome, but a church that he wanted to visit. And as I often describe the letter to the Romans, it's rather like a very long calling card. That's the idea behind it. So it's the end part of the argument about the gospel. And in fact, Jack said to me in the vestry, why don't we have the next verse? Well, we do next week. Therefore, it starts, there is no condemnation, etc. Therefore, because of the previous seven chapters of argument, come next week and you'll hear it. Basically, St. Paul in this reading is having what you might call confession time. I do not understand my own actions, he says. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do what I don't want to do. I know what is right, but I don't do it. He has a battle going on within himself. He is at war within himself. He delights in the law of God, in his inward self, but finds his members, his arms, legs, hands, and one little member that does a lot of damage, the tongue, subject to the law of sin. I have to say, I like St. Paul's honesty. And if we are honest about ourselves, I'm sure many of us can identify with what St. Paul is saying here. We all fail to do what is right on certain occasions. Of course, our response through a little bit of misinterpretation of this passage is to place blame somewhere else. How many times have you said or heard somebody say, the devil made me do it, blaming somebody else? It's a cop-out, if you'll excuse me saying. Of course, we face temptation to do wrong, but we don't have to give in to that temptation. Like St. Paul, we can express our frustration. Wretched man that I am, he says. But Paul, having said so, expressed his frustration, asks what we call a rhetorical question. Who will rescue me from this body of death? To which, of course, he knows the answer. That very last little bit of the reading, it's almost as though it's a bit missing, but I did actually look at the Greek, and what is translated here is what is actually there. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But many translations will put, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, the victory has been won by Jesus, his death and resurrection. And through faith in him, he will give us victory. Hence, next week's reading, therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But as my note says here, that's next week's sermon. But of course, you can go home and read Romans chapter 8, and I think it would be a very good thing to do, what follows on from this passage. So much for St. Paul. Let's turn to the first part of our gospel reading. As always, important to put a reading in context. Some disciples of John the Baptist where John is in prison, have come to speak with Jesus. And after they have gone, Jesus speaks and gives great praise of John the Baptist. And then we have this little passage that's set for us this morning. Jesus compares his hearers, and especially the Jewish religious leadership, to children who won't join in the game, no matter what it is. They won't dance, and they won't cry. And he sets up the differences between himself and John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, lived a simple, ascetic lifestyle in the wilderness. And what did people say about him? He has a demon. Jesus comes along, he eats and drinks and mixes with everybody, and they complain, he is a glutton and a drunkard. I'm sure many of you have experienced non-Christian believers being very quick to tell you what Christians should or shouldn't do, particularly if you do something and you call yourself a Christian, you know, as though you shouldn't be doing that. May I tell you, not only non-believers, but many churchgoers are very quick to tell the clergy what they should or shouldn't do. Yes, witness the little exchange I've had with one or two people on Facebook over this last weekend. I think I've told this story before, but it illustrates what I'm saying. In the very early days when I was ordained, I went to visit a young couple who'd had their first baby and were asking me to baptize the baby. And I arrived at the house, the mother was there with the baby, together with her mother, the new grandmother, but we were waiting for father to come home. And we got involved in a general conversation, and I happened to mention in passing about a young lady wearing a rather short skirt. To which the new grandmother replied, I didn't think the clergy were meant to notice such things. Yes, people think somehow we are superhuman rather than human. Returning to Jesus' words, yes, there is a place for both the approach of John the Baptist and Jesus. Some people are called to a separate, simple life, the religious life as it's sometimes known. Jesus gives John the Baptist great positive praise in this passage, or the immediate bit before our reading. But others are called to live out our faith in the midst of the busyness of everyday life, to be where people are, alongside them, a friend to them. Not as some Christians put themselves, somehow socially separate or looking down on despising others who don't have our standards. No, be with people as Jesus was and live out our faith there, even though we may sometimes be told we should or shouldn't be doing that. And then finally to the second part of our reading, from Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30, the break I deliberately put in the printed version on your weekly bulletin. Jesus expresses the idea of coming to him as children in simple faith and trust. If you listen to that little short section, it sounds very much like the Gospel of John. It's a rather interesting passage. It occurs also in Luke. No one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father. In other words, God is incarnate in the Son, in the person of Jesus. Very much the ideas of John's Gospel coming through in Matthew, and as I say, it also occurs in Luke. But then you get something peculiar to Matthew's Gospel, this call by Jesus to come and rest and take on the easy yoke. He speaks to people who were weary with the heavy burdens imposed by the Jewish religious leaders on how they should live, the law and, of course, all the interpretations of the law, how it should be done. Jesus invites them to come and learn from him. The yoke, of course, was this wooden contraption that you put two animals together, the wooden thing across the next, so the two animals could work together and pull in the same direction. Often you put an older animal with a young one, so the older one could teach and train the young one alongside them. Jesus says he is gentle and humble in heart. He is not overbearing. He's not, as we sometimes describe it, holier than thou. There is an invitation. Come and learn from Jesus. Come and learn to follow his ways. And so, having tried to explain these three passages, the two chunks of Matthew chapter 11 and that part from Romans, in conclusion, what should we take away this morning from these readings? Well, from St. Paul, that the victory over sin has been won. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us thank God for that victory, which of course we celebrate in bread and wine in our worship this morning. Secondly, from that first part of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 11, let's live out our Christian lives in whichever way we feel God has called us to do so. But be alongside others. Live out your faith there. And thirdly, be willing to learn alongside Jesus, guided by his yoke, as it is described. And by doing so, you will find the rest for your souls that he promises. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.